Blog Talk Radio.
If I wasn't there when he called, he got mad.
She was always telling me how to dress.
Every time it was like, is he hitting on you?
She kept telling people I was cheating on him.
I didn't want to lose him.
Man, was she jealous.
It was like I couldn't go anywhere without him.
She didn't want me to see my friends.
He cares about me so much. I guess that's why he hit me.
Dating abuse can take many forms. Some so subtle, your teenager may not even know it's happening. That's why parents need to know what dating abuse is and how it can start, how you can spot the signs, and most important, how you can help prevent it. So talk to your teen today. Help them understand how dating abuse can happen and teach them to choose respect in all their relationships and to expect no less when they're dating. To learn more about the warning signs of dating abuse, go to ChooseRespect.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Respect.
Give it. Get it.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for listening. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And I would love to hear from you. Just send me an email, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. You might have questions or comments, guests you like to see, topics you like to discuss. Send me an email or tweet at me at Joy Keys. Also, you can leave comments on the fan page on Facebook. I definitely go there and review and see what people are saying, so please leave your comments. This morning, I am speaking with an exceptional, talented, multifaceted, okay? You probably remember him as an actor, and you probably remember him from the film The Great Debaters with Denzel Washington, but you may not know that this particular actor, but he's more than that, has also written a book and has produced and directed several other films after being in The Great Debaters. One of his award-winning films is called Punch Me. So good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me. Thanks for the invite.
Thanks for coming on the show. I myself did not know all the things that you were involved in until, you know, I reached out to you and started reading about what you were doing. And I just want to commend you. Your films are short but to the point and hit powerful like a Mike Tyson punch. I mean, really. You know, I mean, you're thinking if somebody says, you know, you're going to watch a short 13-minute film or 10-minute film or something, how much can a person put in it? Well, I think you succeeded in putting a lot into the films that I've watched and a lot of layers so, like, that you could definitely continue on with a feature in either one of the films. So let's just start off with where people know you from, The Great Debaters. How did you get a job? How did you get that gig?
Well, The Great Debaters, it's a funny story. I saw Denzel Washington on the Oprah Winfrey Show talking about a book that he wrote, and I guess towards the end of the program, he mentioned that they were doing a film together called The Great Debaters. So I immediately looked it up, tried to find information on it. And, of course, at the time I was on the East Coast. Now I'm kind of bi-coastal. But I sent my information to the casting person in Hollywood. And I said, okay, well, you know, they're not going to respond because I'm all the way over here. And they don't take you seriously unless you're over there. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, I was right. Nothing happened, but I have an agent in North Carolina who called me out of the blue one day and said, can you be in North Carolina tomorrow to audition for Denzel Washington's The Great Debaters? And it was just, you know, some people would call it coincidence, but I don't believe in coincidence. I think it was just fate. It was just meant to be. So I said, of course. I went down to North Carolina, put myself on tape down there with the local casting director, and several weeks later, I guess, I got the call that I'd have to go to a secret callback in Atlanta to read for Denzel personally. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Did you drop the phone? I mean, were you screaming? I mean, you sound so calm now talking about it. I mean,
you know what? I'm the type of person where I don't really believe something is happening until it's happening or it's happened. So I was excited, but still reserved at the same time, because in this line of work, anything could happen at any time. You know, an opportunity could be put on your lap, and then 2 seconds later, it's taken away. So I don't think it really hit me, the weight of the situation, until really I got in the room and read for Denzel himself, because he and the initial casting person were the only two people in the room at the time. So then I said to myself, oh, wow, okay, this is kind of real. So
yeah, serious. But now, moving past that, like I was just mentioning about your short films, let's start off talking about why did you decide to go into producing and directing? I mean, you're also acting in the films, but what was that always something in your head that you wanted to be a producer, director, writer?
Well, I've always been a filmmaker since I was, I guess, about 14 years old, and that was my, because I'm a writer first. I love writing, and I started making films very young, and I acted in some of them out of necessity because either an actor wasn't available or, you know, a character just fit me, that sort of thing. I grew into really loving acting as a trade. And so since 2003 or 4, I believe, I've been in the Screen Actors Guild, and that's when I realized, okay, I love this equally as much. It's something that I've always done, making films. But I took about a 5-year hiatus from between the time I went to college and graduated from making films. So when I started making films again back in 2008/2009, it was like I was reborn, sort of, as a filmmaker, because before that I was a child filmmaker. Now I'm, you know, the kid gloves are off. So.
Right, definitely. Well, you're definitely dealing with some non-kid issues. Let's talk about the first film, Punch Me. You're dealing with a young man who's trying to come to grips with whether he should come out to his family and to the world at large. And, I mean, he's, like, at his breaking point in the film. I mean, you play the young man, and this is something that a lot of youth deal with. And in his case, he even blamed himself for his parents divorcing.
Yeah. You know, it's a very, in my opinion, powerful story about a young man who's, like you said, wrestling with his identity. His boyfriend is very secure in his own skin, and he wants the young man who I play to be the same. But I'm just not there yet. And top that off, my father has diabetes, and he's on his deathbed, and I don't want him to go to his grave with me being dishonest about who I am, but I also don't want to break his heart by not being the son he wants me to be. So, I wanted to do the story because I was inspired by several people, but most notably a person in my own family who's going through a similar situation with the family not really accepting who he is. And I didn't want to do the typical story without giving away exactly what happens in the relationship between the father and the son. I'll just say that typically these type of stories are tragic, and you know the father is pointing his finger and you know that sort of thing. And this film, there's a slightly different type of situation going on. But my character, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to mention where they can go learn more about the movie, and your website is your name, robertxgolfin.com, and you can learn about how to contact him if you want him for a gig, but also how to collaborate with him on the film and learn more about his films, purchase his films, get on his email list, a newsletter, also your Twitter handle. You have a couple different ones. Go ahead and tell the audience Twitter handle.
The Twitter handle for Punch Me is Punch Me Film, and my production company, which did not produce Punch Me but has produced some of my other work, is Twitter at Brotherside ENT. Punch Me's production company, for the record, is Blue Angel Entertainment. So
I just want to let the listeners know, again, Robert X. Goffin is your main page, but then you have Twitter, so you can follow and learn more about where the show might be screening and reaching out to him and connecting with him. But, yeah, most of the time the issue of teens coming out to their family or to anywhere in this country, I mean, we see all the time kids getting harassed in school, kids getting killed, beat up, committing suicide is a really big issue. It's not something, you know, it's one of the most difficult things, I think, for our society. But also, I mean, I've been reading recently in South Africa, there was a lot of backlash against being, you know, part of the LGBT community, people raping, people thinking that's going to solve their quote-unquote problem.
Right.
You know, it's horrendous. You know, to me, it's really horrendous. I mean, where's the empathy, you know, about maybe everybody has some issue they're dealing with and that maybe they don't want to share with other people. And then you're going to somehow put your belief on top of another person. Like, you think what they're, who they are, that they can't control who they are. You know, they didn't decide it. It just, this is the way they are, and this is my feeling. And you're going to, like, kill them for it or beat them up for it? I just,
Or make
know,
them feel
know.
Worthless, you know, spit on them figuratively and physically. And,
right.
And you know, that was one of the things that also inspired me to come up with the piece. And who knew that the news during the time of the release of the film would all of a sudden decide to pay attention to all the young people across the country that were enacting physical bodily harm on themselves and also, you know, hurting others because of their sexual orientation. I mean, it's something that's always been going on, but the news this year decided to actually, you know, talk about it. But it's been happening forever. And, you know, I just recently saw more stories of suicides because of gay bashing. And it's just, it's a really sad state of affairs that in almost 2012 now, we still treat each other like this if we're different. So my hope is that people that watch Punch Me learn to be a little more tolerant of other people's differences and really just have compassion and respect and love for one another, despite whether we agree with, you know, who someone loves or the type of life they lead.
Well, one of the other interesting issues you deal with is not only the character coming out, but his lover, like you said, who was more comfortable, I felt pressuring him to come out. I think that person who may be already at a certain stage where they've come out and they're comfortable and cool, I think has to also have tolerance for their partner who may not be there. I think that I felt bad for your character. I mean, I was like, well, give him a minute now, you know, let him come, you know. And then at the same time, I tell my daughter in any relationship, you may be at one point and the person may not be at that point yet, whether it's heterosexual or gay relationship or whatever. You have to make a choice whether you're going to continue to stay with that person too. You know what I mean? So I don't think you can, again, force where you are on another person. You know, I just think there has to be that tolerance also where maybe you're already out and you're comfortable. Let that person come to it, you know, in time, support them and be there for them. I mean, I'm not sure how you feel about that.
No, I agree, and it's interesting. I think Punch Me has screened or been selected for 23 screenings nationwide and abroad, and you're the only person that has brought that point up about the boyfriend being very pressuring to my character. But I definitely think, you know, in this day and age, people are constantly, especially in the entertainment business, trying to coax people to come out of the closet or, you know, whatever the case may be. And this film, I hope, will make people that are gay or questioning or, you know, bisexual or transgender or whatever the case may be, feel more comfortable being who they are, but by no means is it meant to force them to do it. Because like you said, someone has to be totally comfortable with, you know, accepting who they are and then announcing who they are to the world. So definitely.
Yeah. Well, I want to mention on the website, there's a website, it's called itgetsbetter.org. For those of you who are listening, and if you are part of the LGBT community or you know a youth who's on the fence or trying to deal with who they are, where they are, so to speak, there's a great website, it's called itgetsbetter.org, and people can submit videos about trying to process, you know, coming out and look at other people's videos and support, lots of resources. Also, advocacy and merchandise, there's some T-shirts and things like that. It's just it's a very supportive website. There's also a lot of great programs in the Philadelphia area that help support LGBT youth. There's a great center at the University of Pennsylvania that has a lot of resources and mentors and LGBT library there. So you can check that out at the University of Penn. And also, there's a hotline I learned about. It's called the Trevor Project, and that's specifically for LGBT youth. about dealing with suicide issue. So that website is the Trevor Report. I mean, sorry, the TrevorProject.org. Again, the TrevorProject.org, and they have a 1-800 number. It's 1-866-4U-TREVOR. 1-866-4-U-TREVOR. So those are some great resources. Now let's talk about your other film. I mean, you're just, wow, for a young cat, you're dealing with some heavy issues. Then your next film is dealing with domestic violence issues. Why did you choose that?
Well, my godmother, who is one of the producers of the film, it's called Unperfect, and it's an award-winning film that stars myself and Christopher Mann from HBO's The Wire. My godmother plays my mom in the film. Her name is Janet Connor Knox, and she's an Emmy Award winner. And I would say maybe about 4 years ago, give or take, you know, we started talking about different forms of abuse and involving different age groups. And we said, we definitely wanted to collaborate on something at some point. So every year for the last 4 years, occasionally in our conversations, we would strike it up again and say, okay, we really got to do this one of these days, you know. And finally, the stars aligned, all the cards fell into place last year, and we decided to do this. So I wrote the script because usually when you think of someone getting abused, you think of black eyes, busted lips, bruises, you know, that sort of thing. But abuse can be just as hurtful, just as painful, even just as deadly, that is verbal or mental. And that's the form of abuse that is talked about in this film. More physical elements of abuse might be alluded to in the film, but you won't see any blood in this film. You know, it's really about
psychological.
Exactly. It's mentally breaking down people, and that's just a horrible thing. So my character, and it's about the cycle of abuse. My character is this college student who has gotten really good grades, but they're still not good enough for his father. My father is pretty abusive to me, pretty abusive to my mom. And fast forward a few years later, I'm married now, and I'm enacting the same kind of verbal abuse on my wife that I received. And so she's going through it. And there are some crazy things that happen in this film. There's one scene on a bridge, but I don't want to give it away exactly what's happening.
No, don't give away. Don't give that away.
But
don't give it away.
But it's, you know, I know for a fact, because we've shown the film at a few different venues, that it is a film that makes people uncomfortable. And it should, because this form of abuse is very, very serious. And I think if we all really look at our lives, we might discover that at some point in our lives, we may have even been verbally abusive to someone. And so it really makes you think about yourself and about others.
Well, I want to respond in terms of the verbal abuse. I've taken social work classes and different things, family violence and prevention and so on and so forth. And it starts out with the verbal. And also in statistics, they know that children who may not even been physically abused, but watching maybe their mother be abused, can end up becoming abusers. But again, what is unique about your film is that you're dealing with the verbal abuse, and the father is verbally abusing the son. Now, of course, your imagination, you know, like you said, you can insinuate there might be physical abuse. But the verbal abuse is so, I mean, I'm sitting there cringing as the father is talking to the son. I don't want to give away what he's talking about, but I'm sitting there cringing like, really? I wanted to come through the screen and hit the father. Like, I'm like, can I take him out? I mean, I don't want to be too violent, but I wanted to take the father out because, really, this is what you're talking to him about? You're putting him down, and really it all came back to the father. It was the father who had his own issue, his own, you know, shame that he was dealing with, and he was putting it on the son. That's how I took it. He was putting his shame onto the son.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he was evil. That's what he was. He was evil.
Yeah. Well, now, this other issue that I'm not sure if people bring this up, we talk about verbal abuse under the, you know, domestic violence, but eating disorders I think is also, I mean, I don't know if that was your main focus somehow to bring it up, but the wife of the main character ends up having this eating disorder. Now, I don't know if she had that before she met him. I mean, that's something you would have to, you know, make up in your mind, you know, imagination.
Right.
But eating disorders is a very severe issue that women deal with. I think because from eating disorders, in terms psychologically, it's a control issue. Being able to control what you can eat and how you look. Some people are bulimic. Some people are anorexic. Some, you know, binging. I had a young woman on, who African-American woman, which is not spoken about, African-American women dealing with eating disorders, and they do deal with eating disorders. It's not just a white girl issue. But in your film, the woman is white, and can we say what happened, or we want to not we don't want to tell
no,
what,
yeah,
is, what happened?
You can say. Yeah.
Okay. Just that your character was forcing her to eat, and she had hidden all these different candy bars and candies in the drawer and thought she was, you know, getting away with it. But not in a mean way. She just was, she wanted to be able to eat normally. I felt that she just wanted to be able to eat, but she couldn't, so she was hiding it from you,
mm-hmm.
your character, you know?
Yeah.
What kind of response did you get from people in the audience about that eating disorder issue? Did anybody mention that when they were watching the screenings? Or?
Well, no one mentioned the actual term eating disorder, but certainly there was much reaction to that scene. You know, I thought I might need some bodyguards at some of these screenings, because people really, I guess, were lost in the characters that we played. But, yeah, I mean, you know, people, of course, just like my wife in the film, pointed out the fact that I wasn't exactly, you know, a big dude either. You know, I'm slim, and you know, people were upset because they felt well, she's not as heavy as you're making it out to be. You know, let her eat, let her be healthy. You know, that sort of thing. So they people were pissed off. They were really pissed off.
Yeah. Well, another issue there also is the racial issue. You're black, she's white, and did you get any flack about that? Or, you know, some people might say, well, because you're a black man, you're angry at the white man. You know, I mean, what was your, in terms of casting, why did you choose her character? Was there any racial things that you wanted to bring out in that, or no?
Well, honestly, did we receive backlash? Of course. That's, you know, that was something that wasn't a surprise to me once we actually locked casting. But when I sat down to write the script, did I say I want this to be a relationship between a black man and a white woman? No, it was just a woman in general. Once we decided to cast Lauren Jane Krzysztofalski, who plays my wife in the film, in that role, you know, then I sort of looked at some different elements to the story. But during casting, you know, we put out the casting call, and we just didn't receive as much response as I would have liked from African-American actresses, believe it or not, because I know there's plenty of them out there.
yes, there are.
but I think in the end, like I said, things happen for a reason. I believe it was fate. It was meant to be. And I've worked with Lauren before. So it was perfect that she was able to be a part of this project. But certainly, there are a lot of, I mean, I think it would probably be five more shows to be able to really discuss the racial element of the film.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly has created backlash with some people. But I will say, without going on a tangent, that my character is being abusive, not because, you know, of anything that the white man has done to him or whatever. It's really just that cycle of abuse that's happening. But would I be doing the same thing with a black woman? Would she even react the same? That's up to individual interpretation. At some of my screenings, you know, many women have said you wouldn't have lasted a day. But in reality, a lot of women regarding
And people want to try to put on their, you know, tough guy face, and I say people, men or women, and try to say, depending on what race you are, you wouldn't put up with certain things. let me assure the audience, unfortunately, you know, many women, black, white, Asian, Indian, Native American, are being abused right now. Definitely. Women are being killed if they try to leave their partners. And these are not stupid women. These are women with degrees, masters, PhDs, you know, smart women, so to speak, who are being abused. There are also men who are being abused verbally and physically by their women. Unfortunately, the statistics, there are more women being abused.
Right.
So don't think because you're black, a black woman, you cannot be abused, and that if somebody spoke to you a certain way. Right now, I have a girlfriend who's in an abusive relationship, and I have begged her, and other people have begged her and begged her over and over and over and over and over again to get out, to get help, and this person has a master's degree. Please, no, don't think that you cannot be taken by the devil, so to speak, if you want to label it like that. But
and as an outsider,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, as an outsider, we might ask ourselves, well, why do you stay in this relationship? What is the problem? You know, that sort of
mm-hmm.
thing. But there are certain things that we won't really get if we're not in that relationship.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, even if it's any type of abusive relationship is unhealthy. So, you know, it's sad to see someone go through that. I know several people that are going through that right now, even people in my own family that are dealing with abusive relationships of some kind. So it's really sad to watch those relationships continue to get worse and worse and worse. But we can't really claim to understand a person's mental state, you know, because that's
mm-hmm.
really what it boils down to, is their mental state at that point. They can be the smartest person in the room and still not be able to leave the situation they're in for some reason.
Well, it's emotional. You know, it's definitely an emotional, psychological issue. But I want to mention that you have another film that you just had a little rough cut release, September 24th, I Am a Man. Talk to us about that real quickly.
I Am Man is produced by the same company that produced Unperfect, Brotherside Entertainment, LLC. That's my company. I Am Man, well, I'll give you the log line, because there's not too much I can say about that film just yet. But the log line is, after facing an unspeakable crime, everything that makes him a man is gone, maybe now even the trust of his lover. And it is it's a drama that will have people talking. I mean, I wish I could say more, but I promise you that when we release the film, I'll definitely have you on the list as one of the first people to know about it. Because I think
definitely,
that you'll find it interesting.
I would love to have you come back on to talk about the film. Again, I'm sure it's an intense film. Let me ask you, why are you dealing with such intense topics? I mean, you know, couldn't you just have a light, you know, I don't know, Valentine's Day type of movie, or, you know, a little kid loses his teddy bear? I mean, what made you decide these heavy topics to deal with in your films?
That's the question my mom asks me all the time. And she produces all of my films. But, you know, I mean, I definitely will be expanding my range. I mean, I'm like the king of drama. I love drama. I love taboo subjects, things that people don't really want to talk about, because I feel like there's a place for it. Sometimes you want to go to the movie and you just want to be entertained. Sometimes you just want to
mm-hmm.
see some snakes on a plane. but I think that films that cause us to think about things differently and to think outside the box and think about the way we treat others, the way that we're living our lives, those are the type of films that I really love to see, films that can help transform someone or a community or even a world.
Mm-hmm.
But I love all forms of art, so I definitely want to branch out and do some comedy at some point, even though I'm not funny. I'm corny funny. But I want to do that and do some stuff that has some lighter tones to it. But, you know,
yeah.
I have to do what I'm inspired by and what moves me. And these are the type of stories that continue to move me for some reason. I guess I'm just giving in to my dark side.
No, I think you're giving in to your talent and you're following your light because, again, as I mentioned, the films are short films, but they have a great punch, you know, no pun intended, and there are so many layers to them. I mean, we could have another show about all the different layers and questions and comments and concerns that the films bring out in people, or, well, I know brought out in me. and I watch a lot of films. Hi, my name is Julie Hughes. I'm a filmaholic. I'm a movieholic. I'm in the movies almost every weekend. Mm-hmm. So I definitely say that you're doing a great job, and I wish you much success. Please come back on to talk about your next project, and stay in touch. I'd love to hear from you. Let me mention again that your website is robertxgolfin.com. Also, you're on Facebook. Look up Robert X Goffin on Facebook. And also, Brotherside Entertainment is on Facebook. Twitter handle at Punch Me Film. And then the Twitter handle is at Brotherside Ent.
Is that for
your Brotherside?
Yes.
Okay. So now, is there an email? If somebody wants to email you, they have an idea for a film or want to collaborate with you, what's your email?
If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can reach me at brothersideent@gmail.com. or marketing@robertxgolfin.com.
Okay, great. Well, guys, keep your eyes open, and if you haven't seen it, check out his website and check out the clips of Punch Me, support the African-American brother trying to do great things, following his light, Robert X. Goffin. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Joy, for having me. It was a pleasure.
Have a wonderful Saturday, okay?
You as well. And happy October.
All right. Oh, happy October. Thank you. All right, bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show today. Just got off the line with actor, filmmaker, producer, writer Robert X. Goffin. You might have known him or seen him in The Great Debaters, but trust me, there is a lot more to this young man. And you want to learn more, go to robertxgolfin.com and check out his films. He has several films, award-winning films, that have been screened across the country. Check them out, dealing with issues such as coming out, a young youth dealing with coming out, being gay, domestic violence, eating disorders, and domestic violence, not just physical, but more of a verbal abuse. So please support him. And then he has a third film right now, I Am Man, so you want to keep your eye out for when that's going to be screened. Again, robertxgolfin.com. For me, you can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys. And you can become a fan of the show. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys at hotmail.com. That's my email. But you also look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys on Facebook to become a fan. I hope you have a wonderful Saturday. This month we're going to be speaking about black sororities and fraternities on the 15th. Going to be talking to jazz pianist Elio Villafranca on the 22nd, dealing also with Down syndrome on the 22nd. And on the 29th, author, filmmaker, TV producer Nelson George. In November, we're going to have author Martha Southgate and also author and professor Derek Darby coming on about his book, Hip Hop and Philosophy. So a lot of great shows coming up. Stay tuned. Become a fan. And follow on Twitter because I give away things, books, CDs, movie tickets, all kinds of things. So you want to become a fan or follow on Twitter. Have a wonderful Saturday.
If I wasn't there when he called, he got mad.
She was always telling me how to dress.
Every time it was like, is he hitting on you?
She kept telling people I was cheating on him.
I didn't want to lose him.
Man, was she jealous.
It was like I couldn't go anywhere without him.
She didn't want me to see my friends.
He cares about me so much. I guess that's why he hit me.
Dating abuse can take many forms. Some so subtle, your teenager may not even know it's happening. That's why parents need to know what dating abuse is and how it can start, how you can spot the signs, and most important, how you can help prevent it. So talk to your teen today. Help them understand how dating abuse can happen and teach them to choose respect in all their relationships and to expect no less when they're dating. To learn more about the warning signs of dating abuse, go to ChooseRespect.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Respect.
Give it. Get it.